I call the June 19, 2018 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Other Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, it is 7:03. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move right into the consent agenda items. A through O are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda item? No? Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
That's Gaines.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Okay, we'll move to matters from the public. It is our practice not to address questions at this time, so we'll take input under advisement. This doesn't make sense. Please limit comments to 3 minutes per person. So, this would be the time for...
Yeah, come on up.
Come on up. Just say who you are.
Hi, I'm from the Glencoe Caucus. I'm Bart Schneider, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the Village Nominating Committee. And I just have a brief announcement to make about the selection of board candidates, and I'll read it. This summer and fall, members of Glencoe's Village Nominating Committee will meet to identify, interview, and evaluate individuals who seek to serve on the governing boards of the village, the park district, and the library. Our goal is to select the best available people for office. It's also our duty to nominate a complete slate of candidates for these elective offices. We invite all residents to suggest names of possible candidates, and candidate applications are due by August 15th at 5:00. Any questions, you can see the glencoecaucus.org website, or you can, there's an email address there, you can contact me. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
for serving.
Bart.
Anybody else? Okay.
Alrighty. Okay. Financial reports.
Certainly.
Carol.
We're now 3 months into the new fiscal year. We've had amazing opening season at the beach. Memorial Weekend really has far exceeded anything that I've seen in the last 20 years here. So it was a phenomenal start to the beach season. You can tell by the financials, we actually have almost 29,000 to the positive in the beach department for the first couple of days in May. So we needed it, I think, going into the next couple of weekends in June. So we'll see how that evens out at the end of the summer, but definitely a wonderful start for the May financials. We're looking good in the recreation department as well. Daycare, quite where we were about last year. It'll be interesting to see with the expansion then coming in September. But there's really nothing that's jumping out again at this point. And it's been pretty consistent with the previous years that we've had here at the Park District. So I'll open it up to any questions and anything you might have.
Some questions. All right. Good job, Cheryl.
Okay. So moving on to the staff reports. And
okay, Carol, we're going to throw Carol's just.
Yeah, here we go again.
Talking the whole day.
As was presented by Ron Amon earlier this meeting, just kind of finishing up the final audit. We'll be turning around and getting ready for the new budget year. Starting that process a little bit sooner with staff. So just picked right up where it left off.
Excellent. Bobby, do you want to add to your report?
Yeah, I'm just very busy with the beach. Obviously, we had almost 800 to 788 residents at the beach over opening weekend, which I thought was a really nice statistic to get people down. Just busy down there. Our camp started this week. It's smooth so far. We had a little bit of a noticeable drop in Action Quest. We think there's 51 people of Action Quest age who are signed up for other specialty camps that we're doing, so we're seeing them move around a little bit. Sailing and Aquatics and STEM has done very well. Aquatics is fully booked out with waitlists in almost every section. Salem was almost full with every section. STEM, we had the drone camp, which was done really well. So we're looking for future years to look at Action Quest and maybe doing a more modular approach where we tailor the weeks to more design them for actual specialty weeks and build in some specialty camps into that to get more variety for our campers.
I have to compliment Bobby and his staff. They just went through 3 weeks of extensive training, both for our aquatics team and for our day camp team. We take it very seriously, and they do a very comprehensive, well-rounded training. So I observed a lot of it and saw their training agendas, and was very impressed. So, all right, Chris.
Well, it's been very wet.
Oh, Chris.
On Memorial Day weekend, we have a number of residents who are pretty concerned about the condition in some of our parks, so we'll be talking a little bit more about that as we move forward in the capital planning cycle as far as park flooding and how that's impacting the park district and the community. If you're taking, the bioswales are getting wrapped up. We did get our soil delivered. We're looking to see things planted and seeded within the next 2 weeks. Things are really coming together out here. Once we get seeded, we'll start to see things sprouting. It'll probably be a year before we really see some major plant material, but we'll be glad to turn the key on that project. Where the playground is moving along, the playground equipment is standing. We are planning on getting started at Old Elm here at the end of the week, so that's moving ahead very well. The contractor's done a fine job of actually working in the rain, so we've been really pleased to see that moving forward. So altogether, it's been very neat with the weather, very hot, very rainy, but staff has kept up on things. Plantings are getting done. Our tennis windscreens are up, so working on the beach, keeping the facilities clean. As Bobby stated, it's the first week of camp, which means everybody's here. Everybody's touching everything, you know. I think every window in the building has a face or a handprint on it at this point right now.
I love it. It's nice and noisy.
Okay. It's fun. I mean, good. Especially when they have like peanut butter.
We love that.
Our bees have outgrown their existing hives, so we had to add a new apartment level to the hive. So bees, the hives are doing well. Very happy, very healthy. So I have a bee suit now, so that's quite the sight. I've seen something in a bee suit.
So I need a picture of that.
I cut quite the figure in it.
Just one note is that our loop in the back of the parking lot, the turnaround, is worked splendidly for camp drop-off. The parents loved it. They were able to just go around it and come back out, so that helped the flow of parking already in that section. And then addressing some of our flooded parks, if we do have standing water in those parks for more than 3 to 4 days, we do apply pellets, the same one that are used by the Botanical Garden and the zoos, to help mitigate mosquitoes from that area. So we are doing that also. Any questions for Chris?
Where are the hives, Chris?
They are adjacent. I don't know if you know where the arboretum area is in the first department. They're right there in the tree nursery.
Ah.
So if you're ever looking, we can send and show you.
They're not really accessible to the public.
They're not really very well accessible. We're just learning and having a modest start.
Okay.
They're also protected from the animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The animals.
Which is important.
Particularly because the honeybees do eat.
Oh, right.
The raccoons are mostly in the dumpster, but...
That's good, yeah.
Okay. The peanut butter hens from camp. Any other questions for Chris?
Yeah. So you said Old Elm was going to start. I thought that the plan was to finish one before starting the other.
So they have made some progress. Their playground crew is done, and they moved to sidewalks, so we're going to take the good weather while we have it and get started. So we have high hopes that they'll be rocking and rolling.
So this contractor has separate crews that do different areas. Mm-hmm. So by starting Old Elm doesn't mean it's going to stop there. They just have a different crew that does different parts of it. So
not the same situation as West.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. Exactly.
And then I noticed too that camp enrollment and the enrollment are both way up from their last meeting. So
yes. Yep.
And all the camps exceeded last year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
Action Quest. Action Quest is the only one. But we're still up about, 51,000 from last year?
Yeah, so the three new camps that we're doing, we're saying Salem Aquatics is new, though it was introduced last year. They're up 51,000 total. Sun Fun's up 29,000. The Bears, Koalas, Teddies is about even. And we're seeing a nice pop in before and after care, too.
Mm.
As we see that trend towards one full day.
Yeah, right.
Anything else?
All right, Erin.
Okay, thanks, Bobby.
We are really putting into our Put Some Play in Your Day theme. We've changed to a different format of emails each week to Put Some Play in Your Week, going along with that theme. Seen some success with that. I hope you all had a chance to watch our gold medal video. Thank you, Lisa, for having me.
Each department had made a cameo. You have to go back and look to find Bobby.
And my hand.
And your hand.
Oh, your
and her hand.
I didn't see your hand.
Well, that is a cameo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's
good. It was under duress.
I didn't write the line. I didn't want to be there. Grab by your hand.
It was a whole different video this year than last.
Completely different.
I really liked the whole spirit and the educational component about our organization that was put forward. It was really nice to know.
Great.
It's always fun to film it and go see what's going on and get the new stuff in.
Yeah.
It's fun. We had a lot of fun, you know, with that. We actually, the application was new too, so we became finalists again with whole new applications. So, like to recognize Erin. She did all the legwork on all of that. We brainstormed together as a team, but she really had to take the heavy lifting on that one. So.
And you had the film crew 1 day, and you had to capture all
we
the.
We had 2 days.
Okay.
We also had to do the audio and the drones.
Oh, gee.
Same day, so.
Right.
So we used footage from last year and then added some new stuff.
Right.
Because we have so many new playgrounds, we wanted to capture those too.
Right.
And the fitness center and things like that.
Is there another step before September? Or like another round?
Nope, that's it.
So it'll be the same thing as last year.
All right. me?
Yes, please.
Okay, yep. I already talked about seasonal staff training. Just updates on some park capital projects. We talked about Vernon, Old Elm. Phase 2 of the parking lot we'll be talking about tonight, approving that bid. The bluff study is almost complete. We're looking to bring it to committee in July, we're hoping, if not August at the latest. Again, John is here to talk about the old Green Bay Linear Park master plan. And then we did have some unexpected improvements. The old sewer line to the boathouse broke. And do you want to give an update on that?
I meant to mention that in my report. So it is a very unique situation because the sewer line crosses over multiple properties at a very steep angle. And it has a pump that pressures behind it. So it's not something that can just remain cracked or old and in disrepair. So we've actually coordinated through the village. Had a contractor. We're moving ahead. We have our last site meeting tomorrow. We have all the utilities marked out, and then the next step will be kind of letting the residents in that area know what's up, and also doing some brush clearing on the bluff in preparation for a new installation of a new sanitary sewer for the boathouse.
So we have porta potties placed for boaters.
Porta potties placed closer to the boathouse. I mean, it's still not as convenient, but people have been really open about working with us. I mean, the sewer line that was in place is from the late 50s, so. Not something that we anticipated having to do while we were
open. So that's why we have contingency for these unexpected, in older park district, that's going to happen. So.
We have to cut down trees and stuff?
Not trees. It'll be mostly like brush, overgrowth, the stuff that will seasonally grow back. So they use a locator, so they bore it in the ground and walk along and radio locate where the pipe is. So they have to be able to get right down to the area where they are. Because we're navigating water mains and other storm sewers that belong to the village.
Excuse me. Chris, when do you think you'll be done with that? And I know you've got to coordinate with the village.
We're working on it. We're working to make best haste. I mean, it's really weather dependent as far as clearing some of that brush on the bluff. You know, within 1 or 2 weeks is my anticipation. That's what I'm hoping. Mm.
The village understands the urgency, so we're working as fast as we can.
Good.
So we have a contractor lined up. We've had the area marked out already. We've had to go through a little bit more drawn-out process than you might in a residential setting or any of our other facilities because of the steep incline of the bluff and the other infrastructure that's in place in that area.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily an easy one, unfortunately.
All right. This will be the last meeting before our big 4th of July celebration, so we're busy planning for that. Same activities as in the past, so we hope to see everybody out there and celebrating with us. Thank you, Dudley, for representing the Park District at the Memorial Day event. We appreciate that. We're happy to announce that Jessica Stockel has been promoted to Early Childhood Manager. So she'll be responsible for all the programming in that area, and we are very close to hiring the supervisor in that area. So we had a lot of good applicants, and we'll probably wrap that up in the next week or two. Special Projects Committee, please note that the next meeting was moved to Tuesday, July 10th because of the holiday. We will start our capital projects discussion again for the following year. It might be a combination of talking and a parks tour with the way out the schedule to see how we're going to do that one. In the past, we've canceled August meetings. I'm requesting that we still have an August committee meeting, but I don't think we have a need for a board meeting, and that's the week that our normal board meetings held is the week we do the cleaning of this facility. But if you could mark the first Tuesday on your calendar, because I still think we need that to move forward with some of the other things.
Which committee?
Special projects again. Yeah, I think it's going to take at least two meetings to do capital projects, and then go over some of the other items on our agenda. I've been continue to work on distinguished accreditation. At the same time, we're also working on the Prodrma. It's every 3 years we do our loss control review. It's a big project also that involves all of us also. We're working on that also at this time. So, and as you can see, we got a nice letter from our attorneys on the gold medal. I think so. Any questions? Okay. No. Then we're ready to move into action items.
Action items, and there is a healthy list of them.
We're busy.
Yes. So I'll launch right in.
Okay.
And as you know, that there's a little opening for discussion after we approve. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2017-18 annual audit as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdung?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 884, an ordinance adopting prevailing wage rates to be paid to laborers, mechanics, and other workers performing construction of public works in the Glencoe Park District, Cook County, Illinois, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All right, motion passes. Oops, sorry. Roll call vote.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdung?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the strategic plan 2018 to 23 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes, I just wanted to clarify one thing on the plan. I'm very supportive of the plan and look forward to the opportunity to work with staff and the consultants on the one thing we didn't quite get to, and that was the section on measurement and trying to quantify the results that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Okay, roll call vote.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Mr. Gaines?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdung?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion
Thank
passes.
You. That was a great process.
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve the license agreement with Congregation Hakafa as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
This is a renewal, isn't it?
Correct.
Yes.
It's a new contract, but yes, they have been long-term leasers and very good partners, I guess you would say.
Okay.
All right, nothing. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdung?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve for Glencoe Park District staff to attend NRPA Annual Congress with expenses not to exceed $7,000 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
Yeah, now, this year, it's In
Minneapolis, right, so we can drive there.
Driving, right. We'll take the bus or just drive
Our van. We'll probably take our van. And probably leave at different times, so. Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay. We don't. What is the deal?
We have to talk about the board members. If board members want to go, and in the past, when board members attended, they paid their own way as far as hotels and things like that. But the park district would pick up if they wanted to do a conference. So I just wanted to know if anybody wanted to go, and then we would have to approve that amount.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. So
and there's two levels. There's the full conference, and there's the.
On here, there's a conference fee. You can go to the home conference, which is from Tuesday till, well, Monday, because we have our the reception on mm-hmm. Monday night until Thursday night. Or there's exhibit hall only package for $150. If you just wanted to come for the reception on Monday night and go to the exhibit hall on Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's not open on Monday.
It's not open on Monday, right.
You couldn't just go in and out one day. You really have to stay over.
Well, and anyways, the reception's on Monday night.
Yeah.
And the
hall doesn't open until Tuesday.
And the presentation's on Tuesday. If we win.
Oh, that's well.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's
so,
right.
Which night would you typically then have the total team dinner? Could that be Tuesday or Monday?
We could do it Monday or Tuesday night.
Monday.
That'll be at St. Elmo's.
That's up to you guys.
So, any commissioners interested in going? And first of all, I'm assuming it's for the short. Okay, all right. So the short, no matter what. But yes. Okay, no. So that would be three.
Okay.
So all right.
To do that, you have to make a motion.
I entertain a motion to approve for Glencoe Park District Commissioners Underdonk, Boren, and Brooks to attend an NRPA Annual Congress with expenses not to exceed $450.
We'll put $1,000 because we have dinner.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I was going to make us pay for dinner too. Okay, $1,000, and that's as a outside limit.
Not to exceed. Yes.
Yes.
So
second.
Any discussion? Further discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So. Discussion will be.
Well,
John will come.
Should
John speak first?
Yeah, if we can just do a little presentation before we do this action item.
Yeah.
Just to explain a little bit more, we asked John to come and make a presentation on the what is in the design agreement, what it all entails.
Okay.
And as you know, we've had quite a few meetings on ideas for the. Old Green Bay parks, and so I took those ideas and met with John and Josephine from Altamenu, and that's how we came up with this design concept, keeping in mind that when we talked to them, we asked them to do it in sections, so this is a master plan, so things can be pulled, added throughout the years once we do that plan. Yep.
So
Chris,
just,
you have something to add?
How do you go to Old Green Bay?
Do you need help?
Yes.
Jenny? It's not me. Jenny?
Anyway, I should introduce, because we do have people who don't know you. We know you, but John McManus from Altamenu, and they are our design company that we have employed to work on this project.
Landscape architects, ma'am.
Yes.
Nice to see you all.
Nice to see you.
It's fascinating. When Chris was talking about that ancient sewer from the late 1950s,
yes,
that's what we are.
We're ancient
sewer. Okay. Anyway, this is a fascinating project.
The tower. It's what the tower.
Okay. So how's it work?
Thanks, Jimmy.
And as usual, I'm delighted to be here at the Paradise. This whole unfortunately, that is the beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah,
it
so
is.
It's from the trail and from the friends in the trail. Though we're talking about Old Greenway Road, the trail is what we do think of, at least of all. It's really the entire history of Glencoe starts there. I'm going to get out of the light. 1830s with the stagecoach in. So it's very much about the heart of it. And it's a great opportunity to create layers of history in the parks. I'm not going to go through all of that.
Great, though.
I'll give you a break for that. But do notice the difference between the French and the English. So the French regard it as a flower meadow, a prairie, and the English call them barrens, because you weren't producing anything from recognizable crops. Donor opportunities to help collect something from this, this wonderful community. This is an elaborate figure. Each piece has information on it, so it could be a history of Glencoe, and it could also be something that people could give their names to and they could add to. It's an example of many other different ways. For instance, we also have blasted people's names in petroglyphs into rocks. And it's the possibility of adding art over time, gardens, gateways, etc. But we're looking at much more of the instructions we got from staff. Here's an existing site area, and we're talking about Maple Hill Road to Park Avenue. I want you to understand how big this is. It's over half a mile, and it has five separate parks and crossings. It's 7.5 football fields of park.
Wow. Huh.
This is not just, you know, wandering out and, oh, let's have a nice idea. It depends how you want to do this. If you want concepts with accurate numbers, we're going to have to do more work than just a few sketches. And the problem, of course, is very good information. So we've got five separate parks, six road crossings. We've been asked to design a playground, which is quite an undertaking. There's the Vets Memorial that's supposed to be redesigned, various gardens, historic artifacts, and a superb urban forest, including early oaks, which I'm always very careful with. Potential issues, we talked about a drainage, everything's flooded. Current use, potential use, and relationship to residents. And we all know what happens. Just recently, we may love native planting, but other people are quite happy with volunteer growth in the place of garden. We want to get to this level. This is what we've been instructed to get to this level of detail. It's an opinion of probable cost. So for each concept, this would go to it. And we'd have to break down the project into this sort of level of detail so that we could give you an accurate estimate. And then with it would be packages for each project that would contain a plan, a rendering, and those costs, so that you could use it for advertising, for trying to raise funds, etc., or go for grants, which is very, very important. And just a couple of images to show you how different this is in different places. On the bottom right is the perfect place for an entry into this system. On the left across the road, there's the Wee Park. And as you go further north, you come across oaks like this one, standing right in the middle of the park. Yeah. On the left is all the volunteer growth that is actually probably on village property, not private property. That's going to be a shop to a few people. And it's all a nice collection of your invasives. So, I was told to be brief. So there is a proposal. It's very detailed. It does stress this is extremely complicated. We have no infrastructure information. We have a general GIS, no topographic information, no drainage information. We have no tree survey. So we're starting from scratch. So that takes a big chunk of change. And a big effort for us because we'll have to be in the field.
Question. As we do this, there's no way we're going to be able to implement the whole thing at once, of course. And I think at least what I am looking for is, I'll call it the skeleton with which we can put the, I'll call it Christmas tree bulbs in different areas on the tree. And you'll be looking at what some of those might be and where they might be located.
I'll call them
pods.
Yeah. We see the trail, you know, you can use the term spy, you know, or whatever way you like. We normally not call it a master plan. We like to use the term framework plan because it gives you a little bit of wiggle room because things do change. What we may think is essential may not be essential 5 years from now. But that's what we want to give you. We want to give you a spine. We want to give you that trunk of a tree that you can hang all these projects on. But each one should be accurate so you don't think, oh, we're going out to put in this fountain and it's going to cost X, when in fact that's about a quarter of the actual real cost. Just something like simple water supply, taking it from that road to over there close to 28 Brown, which you put it on the other side of the park, and you've got a huge chunk of change. It's just simple things like that.
You did direct them to make sure that the projects could be added through the year or so. That was one of the directives.
I think it's really like an a la carte menu.
Yeah.
I think we've got that central focus that we normally want to talk about, which is getting people into these parks through a trail of some kind. But how are we going to get these a la carte projects in there and talk about them with realistic budgets and realistic ideas of what they're actually going to cost? And I think that's far more than just looking up what a piece of equipment might cost in a catalog. It's understanding the topography, the drainage, like John said, how close your utilities are, how this is going to impact the neighborhood. So I appreciate the thoroughness that they put into their proposal and really understanding what our expectations are for this half-mile traffic coverage.
And there is money dedicated for review, community review, staff review.
It's a creative challenge.
Some of these materials could be used for marketing. Should we find a donor that would be interested in?
That's exactly.
How about paying for a pod?
Yeah, that's exactly the aim. And you have an image that you can show to people. Also, talk about real numbers.
And possibly an ASLED grant. Available. We're looking.
Yes, they're back.
They're back.
And
we're looking
in there. Yeah.
We're looking for documents that we could use for that also.
I don't know how they're doing it.
Yep.
So it's really a different project than what we've done before because we're looking at opportunities to have donations impact the ultimate project.
Yes.
But should that not come to pass, it can stand alone with the general framework, whether we do more or not.
Ultimately. Exactly.
So it's a creative challenge.
So you might play more in the front end for design that maybe never happens, but I think it's worth the expense to put those ideas out there and as potential donor items.
So one of the things about this that concerns me a little bit and why I agree with you that this is a hard challenge, John, is that we all know that we have some money in next year's budget for these parks if we choose to spend it on them. But my guess is even just putting a path through the park and doing nothing else would probably cost more than what we have in the budget.
It's possible.
And so
possible.
I'm a little bit concerned that, like, how do you sequence that if, I think people would be disappointed if we just said, okay, here's this crushed rock path and nothing else.
I think we need to keep in mind, building on that concern and those thoughts, that this is such a worthwhile project to connect our Green Bay Trail in a safer manner than we have now from Maple Hill down to Park, that we have to take a longer view than we typically do with our normal parks construction or refreshing, and we need to find a way of getting this done in a cost-effective way. But this is an important component that we haven't addressed in a long enough time, but this is one of our big projects for the next few years. We need to find a way of doing it in a way that works with our budgeting and with the community enthusiasm as they see what we develop.
And it's a great opportunity with OSLAD available this year, so.
Mm-hmm.
The cost alone shouldn't scare us. We need to try to.
No, I don't think we should stop by any means. I'm just articulating one of the reasons why I think this is a challenging mandate for Ultima Nua. I think one of the things that we think about in the sort of corporate strategy world is the idea of minimum efficient scale, right? So there's a certain irreducible core to the project that we can negotiate what exactly that is, but beneath that amount or those particular pieces, you don't have enough to make the project go, right?
So the critical point.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
When is there a deadline for those grants?
They have actually not announced a deadline yet. So
oh, okay. And but we hire someone to write the grant.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Okay, ultimately, we'll help. Yeah.
I looked on the website the other day and they said grant applications are due like at the end of June.
Yeah, we don't know
is
if
that
that's.
Historical?
That's, it was his, that was the past, so we don't know if that they're holding true to that because IAPD has not said that yet. So,
oh, yeah.
But that would be awfully fast. We're hoping not. That not that
difficult.
Fast. But they have been known to do that in the past. So some people have these projects just lined up so one of these happen. We don't have that. So this is so hopefully
yet.
It's not the end of June because
yep.
We have not heard that. Have you heard that?
I mean, some of the discussion about the OSLAD grants in particular was a verbal discussion really long before it was an official announcement.
Yes.
So people have been talking about this for 3 or 4 months in our field where we're just finally starting to see something in writing from the state that this is going to happen because they still haven't passed the budget for these grants in it.
Yeah.
So they're just saying, hey, these grants are going to be in next year's budget. The governor said we were going to have these grants. The elected officials have said we're going to have these grants. Still.
So we're still waiting for the details of what that means.
Boy.
But good question.
Any other questions for John?
There is a.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Okay. I'm going to go ahead with recommended motion. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the Ultima Nua Incorporated agreement for the master planning services relating to the Old Green Bay Road linear park system for $64,556.99 plus expenses as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible take of parking and plaza replacement bidder, Abbey Paving and Seal Coating, Inc. of Aurora, Illinois, for a total of $412,582.41 as presented.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Josh and Steve.
Okay.
Discussion?
Any discussion on that?
We have something.
Oh, yes,
do
you do.
Do you mind?
No, no.
Okay.
Perfect. Good.
Chris, can you go over the bidding process on this?
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the process. So we initially had 20 firms pick up the bid. Three firms in particular attended the bid meeting. One firm did indeed submit a closed legal bid. So the unique nature of the legal bidding process is that bidder did not know if they were going to be the only bid or they were going to be one of 20 bids.
Mm.
So they still have to reflect the best price. So and the best price is what they reflect. I have to say that I'm very pleased with the bid numbers. We were actually able to get the project right in at the original project budget, even including the embellishments of the brick pavers, bike racks, and solar lighting in the skate park parking lot. So, which is not the official name for that, but that's
what we call it.
Nobody even remembers that there's a skate park there anymore. So Abbey Seal Coating and Paving, they're very well known. They've been very successful with a number of park districts that I have personal relationships with the superintendents with, so I got some really great, straightforward, honest reference checks. So I was really pleased with the bid. We were very lucky to have a company like this bid on our project, so I was very happy.
In the bid, there was very tight specifications. We wanted to start right after Camp Ends, like August 14th, and we had a deadline. And so in the bid package, we actually gave penalties if they go past that date. We also gave a bonus if they finish in time. because it'll be a disruption. So when you put those parameters on sometimes a bid, people back out because of that. Mm-hmm. And usually when you start a project in August, a lot of these companies are finishing school projects and they don't want to start that early. We want to start that early because we know it's come August 14th for like 3 weeks. No one's in town. We have a lot of opportunity to get a lot of work done. So we mandated like getting 6-day work days and things like that. So hopefully that will pan out, but that's why we believe the other bidders backed out. That's what they indicated to us. But
it's very, very rigid.
Yeah.
It's not for every company. There are some companies that like to come out and say, oh, yeah, we can do it in 2 weeks. And then you get whatever you get. This is a very, very specific bid with specific deadlines on specific dates. So it was not for every contractor.
Right. Because it's a very disruptive project.
It's going to be very disruptive.
But there's an extra 6 or 7 days of construction.
It's going to be painful.
Of the disruption of our facility.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So we want to minimize that. So if we had paid a little bit more, but we actually didn't because this bid came in very, very good and with a great company that we have trusted Park District reps recommending them.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. No.
So roll call.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible Takeoff Painting and Carpentry bidder, Action One Construction of Chicago, Illinois, for base A, bid A, including alternatives 3, 4, 5, with contingency for a total of $118,000 as presented.
So moved.
Okay, I'm going to throw, if you don't mind, if I throw it back to Chris
please,
again,
Chris.
Talk about the process that went into this and why there's so many little base bids.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is can be a little intimidating to look at this particular bid opening, but I just want to take you guys briefly through the history of this and how we got to this point. So as Steve and Dudley and Lisa know, in fiscal year 16 and 17, we conducted an assessment of this facility, in particular a number of our roofs, the 1928 building and the 1955 building. At that time, it was determined that we needed to replace our roofs. We went out through that bid process, and we had a number of carpentry work and painting in that bid. Well, the numbers came back higher than expected at that time, so we pulled that work out of the bid and said, okay, well, let's table this until later. We want to get these roofs done. We want to get this clock tower done. So last year, which was fiscal year 17-18, we budgeted monies in Fund 65 to do a total assessment of all the carpentry and molding in the entire building. So we brought ACG, which is an architecture firm, to do an assessment, take paint samples, measure, take photographs of everything, and put together a specific probable cost for us. We really wanted to understand what this would cost us in entirety. So we saw those estimates, and we looked and we said, okay, this needs to be a phased approach. We don't want to use the majority of 1 year's capital budget on something as boring as painting. And we all know that this is not the kind of thing, it's the thing you have to do to keep the lights on, it's not the thing you want to do. So this year, fiscal year 18 and 19, we budgeted $145,000 in the Fund 65, which we discussed in our February committee in the whole meeting. So the good news is lab test results came back and we learned that some of the paint that we thought was not good is actually okay. So what that means is we were able to move to repainting whole sections of the building versus just abatement. And then we painted. So we were able to mitigate some of the costs there. So what you see in front of you, based bid A, B, C, and D, and the alternates, are really two separate bids that are together. So the base bids are the total removal of all the molding, the installation of new molding, and then painting it. While the alternates are taking the existing molding that we have, stripping off any rotted pieces, putting new wood on, and then just painting it. As Commissioner Underdonk said, this building is old, but not everything is historic. So we are working.
Sure.
So we looked at the bid in two ways, which was get rid of everything or just fix what we have. So in recommending base bid A and alternates 3, 4, and 5, we're not going to be coming back with base bid B, C, D, and alternate bid 1 next year. The alternates are going to be done in lieu of those base bids. All that we're going to be coming back in phase two is base bid A. Oh, excuse me, not base bid A. All that we're going to be coming back in phase two is alternate bid 2.
Yes.
So we have a bid. We have a budget.
So that was the idea of putting everything into one bid, is to get numbers from contractors that aren't just estimates. So we can take that base bid and use that for our budget purposes for next year. So we opened the bid, we had a number of companies that were very involved in the project, but with the timeline that we established because of the operation of the facility, we saw some firms just weren't interested in that. So we did get one legal bid, as I indicated earlier, from Action One Construction, which had great references. They work with the Chicago Historical Society. They do tons of work all over the city, so there was nothing that I was concerned with as far as that. Everybody had just great things to say about them. So any particular questions?
So did you go with the removal or?
No. So what we went with was repairing what we have and painting. So the only area that needs significant removal is the south entry here, which is the original 28 entrance to this building. That needs some heavy carpet rework and abatement, but the majority of it is just scraping and painting, which is unfortunately keeping the lights on type project, which isn't fun to do. It's not playground, it's not trails, but.
Yeah, I mean, just
doing
our
homes,
but that cost,
so
the
Not at all. And so next year we'll come back with the other section, but it won't be a three phase, which we thought.
I think
two phases.
It's important to know that the contingency that we've asked the board to approve is $35,000. There are some of the areas in this building that we haven't opened since 1928, and we just want to make sure that we can keep the project moving forward if anything comes up. I'm not anticipating using the majority of that contingency, but I just don't want to be in the position of opening something up and having a problem and having to stop the project and wait.
To come back, so.
Well, we want to get it done before we start with the parking lot.
Yeah.
We haven't had to use a lot of our contingency, so we'll just... Yeah. I hope so.
Keep it going. But we want to keep it going. So this project will start almost immediately. The painting, you'll see that in the front of you almost immediately, so that it's over before the parking lot project starts. So that's why we have timelines on that one also. So again, it was a sealed bid. They didn't know if there's one or 20. So we feel, again, we're under budget and got the best price for that too.
But if it's starting now, it's not going to affect any camp.
No, it's over fire doors and that, like that entrance. If we don't bring kids in, it's not over our main entrance.
The majority of our entrances that we have for camps are like in the new section of the newer entrances. So as Lisa said, the majority of the work is going to take place on upper roofs where there's lower roofs underneath. So other than the south entrance here, which they'll be able to access directly from in front of the building, should not be a major disruption. You know, we're going to have to paint the pillars in front, but as we did with the roof, we can close one side of the walkway and paint, and then just close the other. So.
And those are in desperate need. If you've been out there lately, they look awful. So.
Yeah, the pillars need a coat of paint.
Yeah.
Right.
Vocal?
Okay, any other discussion on this?
Yes.
Just a little bit confused on what's the work that's not getting done now because nobody did it.
Perfect.
Oh,
so
they bid on it.
The option that we gave them was to encapsulate some of the molding in aluminum. So they said, that's not the way we want to take that approach. We want to just strip off the old molding that's rotted and paint the rest of it. So that's covered in the base bid A.
No, he's asking, what are we doing next phase two?
No bid item, is that correct? Or
no, he was asking about phase two.
I guess I'm a little confused about base bid A, B, C, D, and alternate 1, 2. Does alternate one go with A and alternate two go with
yes.
B? Yes.
Alternate five is a roof drain that's broken. So typically they line up with the more expensive number is the total rip-off and replacement of all the molding, and the lower alternate number is just painting and repairing what's there.
So the fact that you're going with A, 3, 4, and 5 means that you're not choosing B or 2, which are two different alternatives for the same.
Correct.
Same
thing.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how come you're not going with alternate two?
I wanted to have some additional funds available for contingency. I wasn't comfortable with taking the project all the way up to the top of the budget in case we found that we had an issue somewhere else. So we had to leave that for the second phase.
So that'll be phase two, and that's up in the upper eaves set.
The majority of those areas are inaccessible to the public, and can't see a lot of it from the ground. So I really wanted to mitigate everything that was immediately visible.
Okay. So your plan would be to come back with something, some measure to address this problem, whether it's the same as alternate bid 2 or not.
Correct.
Next year.
Yes.
We rebid it next year or the year after.
And you're comfortable with scraping and painting and replacing wood as opposed to covering with vinyl?
Yes.
Yes.
Because the wood that we are painting and scraping is wood that is okay to paint and scrape.
Okay.
The other stuff is getting properly abated.
Okay.
So we have sections of the building that are different ages with different materials on.
Yeah.
So the 28 building has older paint that we have to more of maybe encapsulate. The 55 building is more of a modern product. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Different
tools
were the same job.
Okay.
So just to recap, we're using base bid A with alts 3, 4, and 5?
Yep.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And then a contingency.
To be directed by these.
Yes.
Okay. So any further discussion? No? All right. So roll call, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Done with those. Now we'll move on to other business.
We have nothing.
We have nothing?
We have nothing for you.
Okay. And there is no reason to go into closed session,
That's correct.
I presume. Okay. Okay. Do
you guys thought it would be a long meeting?
I thought it was going to be a 3-hour meeting. I can't
look at us.
It was so short.
That's why we have committee meetings, because we talked about all this before.
Yeah.
So.
I was strict with John. I just want to.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, he was. He was. He had the hand goodbye. Yeah. Okay. So, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
You're fighting?
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
No opposed.
All right.
Done.
Thank you very much.